In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I find great comfort in the fact that Jesus called ordinary people to lead extraordinary lives. It is fitting that these lectionary readings come up on the Sunday when we install new officers and we look back at the year that has passed and look forward to the year that is to come, especially as we stand on the precipice of the start and I can't explain to you how excited I am that we have this anniversary year coming up and the things we have planned for it. A year in which we get to look back at 150 years of faithful service in this community, and we get to celebrate what we are doing today, and we get to dream about what the next 25, 50, 75, 100, 150 years look like. God calls ordinary people to extraordinary things. See, when Jesus started his ministry after his baptism, and it pops up in the different Gospels. Last week we had Luke, this week we have Matthew. And he walks by and he sees Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And I'm partial to the Greek before we decided to get all, you know, all-inclusive here with our language choice. In the Greek, where he says, "You who are fishermen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's a play on words in the original Greek. He calls them and he says, "Hey, you're fishermen." Not the cleanest, maybe not the most book-learned, definitely not the most, shall we say, smooth of tongue. These were colorful people. These were colorful people. And he says, "I call you to put down what you've been doing and come and follow me and do something new." It's a fulfillment of the prophecy. You know, where Matthew, the writer of Matthew, says that Jesus left Nazareth and he made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Do you recognize that reading? It's one of the Christmas Eve lessons. It's Isaiah 9. "But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian." We believe that Jesus was born to fulfill a prophecy. But more than that, more than fulfilling a prophecy that was generations old, he was born to live at that time, to walk with those people, to change his world for generations to come. See, when Scripture tells us that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets because they were fishermen, and he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people," or "I will make you fishers of men." And Matthew, who is really fond of the immediate, says, "Immediately." Right then. They dropped their nets and they followed where Jesus was calling. And he went a little farther down and he found the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and they were in the boat with their father, again, mending their nets because they also were fishermen. This is kind of a theme. And he says to them, James, John, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fish for people, which makes no sense. I mean, if somebody came up to you today and took your job and says, Dale, for example, you who are a dentist, I will make you, you know, the fishers of teeth. That makes no sense. Or you who are pullers of teeth, I will make you a puller of people. Huh? Puller of people. Val, you who are a teacher, you who are a teacher of people. Teacher of children, I will make you a teacher of people. Gary, who's in charge of HR things, you who manages systems, I will make you manage people. Christina, you who are a preacher of the gospel, I will make you a speaker of people. Do you see how this works? So he says to James and John, hey, boys, get out the boat and come follow me. And immediately, because it's Matthew, and he's real fond of the immediate, he doesn't wax poetic here. He says, immediately, they dropped their nets and they followed him. If Jesus came back today and told me to drop my robe, I'm not entirely certain I'd be happy to do it. Amen? If Jesus came back today and told you immediately, walk away from your family, leave your home, don't worry about the bills that have to be paid. Forget everything that you hold precious and follow me. How many of us would look at him and go, yeah, but Jesus, that's not going to work. I got a car note that's due. The mortgage is due. Somebody's got to go to work to make the money to pay for that. The kids are sick. The grandkids need to be watched. I got responsibilities here, Lord, and I'm doing your work. Is that not a way that we sit in darkness? See, I'm afraid that we've gotten to the point where we get so focused on doing the minutiae of the ministry, right? Because when we're all together doing church work, that's doing the ministry. I think we get a little afraid of getting so bogged down in the minutiae and the bills have to be paid and the lights have to be kept on and the food pantry has to be stocked and all this, and it's all important stuff. But I think in the din of that, we are ourselves sitting in darkness. I think any one of those things are things that keep us away from hearing what God is actually calling us to. I think sometimes, and this could get me run out of the pulpit, I think sometimes we get a little tied up in that's the way we've always done it. That we miss where God is calling us to try a new thing. I think we get tied up in the, we've never done it that way before, that we miss where God is saying, here, try plan B. And it's not just in church, it's in our everyday lives, right? I've always gone to this job. I've always come home at this time. We always have meatloaf on Mondays. We always do the same thing. It works for us. That's the way we've always done it. It has worked. It worked for them. It works for me. That finishes it. I think that's us putting ourselves in a dark time out, friends. I think if we're really going to listen to the gospel lesson this morning and take a note from Peter and Andrew and James and John and listen to our Savior, I think the goal here is to immediately drop our nets and follow. I think it's going to take changing the way we've always done things to do things to continue on. There have been articles coming out, which I really don't like to read, but I do because I try to be an informed pastor. There are articles about, well, do you think the church is still going to exist in 30 years? Well, gosh, I hope so, because in 30 years, I'll only be 64. I won't be retirement age yet. It's a real question, though. Is the church still going to exist? And I think if we're honest, it cannot exist the way it did 100 years ago. It cannot exist the way it did 50 years ago. It can't exist the way it did 10 years ago, because we are changing at a pace that is being outpaced. See, the thing about Jesus calling simple people, ordinary, regular, run-of-the-mill, not clean, polished, not using all the right words all the time people, is that he called people who were in the know of their day and made them something different. He set them apart, and he said, I call you. I call you to come follow me and to work with me and to spread God's word with me. And what we know is years later, after the arrest, after the betrayal, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, when Jesus came back to his disciples and he said, I charge you to continue. Scriptures told us for years, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's Isaiah. That's pre-Jesus, right? How many times do we have to be invited to see the light? See, Jesus walks among us. I firmly believe that. That when I say on Sunday morning that the Holy Spirit who surrounds and inspires us, that happens. That is as honest as the wind blowing through the trees. And the looks that pass between us and the conversations we have and the warmth that we sometimes get from the sun and the snow that falls from the sky. It is that sure. But I think we get a little too tied up in tying our nets, metaphorically speaking, that we aren't paying attention to the wind. And we aren't paying attention to where God is calling us to try a new thing. That's what it's all about. Not only is it showing up, not only is it being part of the community, but it's looking for where God is maybe calling us to go a different direction. That's not to say where we've been hasn't been good. You don't get to 150 years old of 150 years of not good, right? But if we're going to make it, and it's not just we, Ithaca First Presbyterian Church, that's we, Christendom, that's we faithful people across the world. If we are going to make it, we've got to learn how to immediately drop our nets and follow where Jesus is leading. And yeah, it might be uncomfortable. I can imagine that when Jesus called out to James and John and they were in their father's boat with their dad, and he said, hey, yo, James and John, drop your nets and follow me. How many of you have kids? And if somebody called out to your kids and said, hey, drop your chores and come follow me, and the kids dropped their nets, what would you do? Hey, get back over here. You're not done yet with what I'm doing. But what James and John did, which is an example for the rest of us, is they said, this is something bigger than what I have been doing. This is something important. And they followed. That's the call story of the first four disciples. Simple people, regular run-of-the-mill, everyday fishermen, common people of the land, called for an extraordinary purpose. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing to imagine and to discern and to grapple with where it is God is calling you to drop that net and follow. It's a huge, huge thing. It's not easy. I won't say that it is. It hasn't been easy any time any one of us has had to do it. Newsflash, it won't be easy the next time either. But it's right. It is good and right to follow where God is leading. It is good and right to follow when God says, drop your nets and follow me. And you notice that Jesus wasn't in some hot air balloon and he wasn't on some cloud floating along. He was walking along the seashore. He was in a common place. Don't look for God in the high and the mighty. Look for God in the everyday and the ordinary. Look for God in the places where you would think that he would not be, because guess what? That's where he is. Look for God shining in each person you meet. Look for the God light shining in each person you meet every day. It's there. Listen for God in the conversations you have, and in I'm crazy enough to think God shows up in the music on the radio. Go with me on this. Sometimes you're going to hear something that somebody else doesn't hear. Same song, but sometimes it'll hit you in a way that's not hitting the other people in the car, right? It's not hitting the other people in the sanctuary. It's not hitting the same other people in the lunchroom, whatever the case may be. Listen for God in the unexpected places, because that's where he is. He's in the everyday. Jesus called everyday people from an everyday situation. These were fishermen. They did this every day. Every day ending in Y. They were out there fishing. He was walking in a common place and called common people to an uncommon and extraordinary goal. Why then do you think that God would not call you in the same way? I think he does. And I invite you to listen. I invite you to pay attention. I invite you to stop just long enough to listen to where God is calling. You might just find him on the shores of your life, walking in your common places. Amen.